You're listening to Rendezvous with the Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rendezvous with a Writer, where readers and writers meet,
and story is everything.
We're your hosts tonight, Jim and Bobby Bell.
And we're so happy that you have joined us. That was the Hot Texas Swing Band opening, as they always do, with their original song, Hot Texas. And if you miss this show, or you want to hear it again, or any of our previous 70 broadcasts, you can find them on LA Talk Radio, Spotify, iHeart, and any of your favorite podcast platforms. Just follow us on podbean.com and never miss a show. Jim.
We have two guests tonight.
Who are with us?
We have Henry Park, Phil Meyer, True West Magazine.
Hi, Henry.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Good. And we have Manuel Snyder.
So just for fun, we have to ask, Manuela, what time is it where you are and where are you?
It's 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm at the border to Switzerland on German soil with approximately 8 hours time difference.
So it's Friday morning where you are, right?
Amen.
And Henry, where are you?
Why, I'm in beautiful downtown Los Angeles. Well, actually, I'm in Van Nuys, where it is 6.02 p.m. on Thursday, not Friday.
And we're in New Mexico, so this is an international program. How fun is that?
Me too.
So you want to go ahead and get Henry started?
Yeah, Henry, what's going on? You got a lot going on, so what's happening?
I don't mean to brag, but a little while ago, I got off the phone with Athena Calhoun, daughter of Rory Calhoun.
Oh my gosh. And him wow, that's exciting.
Yes, you guys remember Rory?
Yes.
Tall, dark, and handsome Rory Calhoun. I always think of him fighting Robert Mitchum for Marilyn Monroe in The River of No Return. I had a great interview with Athena. I had just written a piece about Rory for the INSP blog. They're showing Four Guns at the Border on Saturday. Anyhow, so that's coming up somewhere. I don't know where yet. Last week, I drove up to Acton, California, which, for people who don't know, is near Antelope Valley, which will not help a lot of people. But it's like 40 minutes from my house. And did you know that they have a Western movie town there?
I think so. I knew that. Can you tell us the name of the movie town? Or do they keep it secret?
Well, it's run by Morningstar Entertainment, and darn it, I forget the exact name. It's like Pepper Tree?
Yes.
Pepper Tree Ranch. It's a new one for me. It's only like 4 years old.
Oh.
I started building it 4 years ago to shoot the Wild West Chronicles series there. Mm-hmm. And it's like just like old Corriganville. Every time they needed something, they would just add on, and so it's grown and grown, and now they're shooting season four of that series and shooting the new series Elkhorn, also for INSP. And those Western streets are really quite something now.
Wow.
They're actually shooting two Wild West Chronicles and an Elkhorn while I was there. And the three crews had to be careful not to keep getting each other in the shots.
Oh, wow.
Like the old days.
Now, I'm assuming that's not open to the public. That is a filming. That's a film ranch. That's a... Oh, filming town only, right?
Yeah. That's right. That is not for the public. And Elkhorn, by the way, is a new series on INSP about the early years of Teddy Roosevelt. When he was a young man and his wife and his mother had both suddenly died and he was very depressed and moved west to escape his sorrow. had a chance to interview Mason Beals, who plays young Teddy, and Jack Elliott, who's played Bat Masterson on Wild West Chronicles for, as I say, in the fourth season. Has anyone checked out the new Marvel series Echo on Disney Plus and Hulu?
No, not yet.
Yeah, I think we've seen some advertising, haven't we?
Yeah, we haven't seen it.
Right.
But we haven't seen it.
What do you think?
Well, I'm not a comic book movie guy. I have nothing against them. But you have to watch 37 movies to understand what the next one is about. And I'm not going to do that. Anyhow, it's spun off of Hawkeye, which I was surprised to find out is not a James Fenimore Cooper book, but some comic book guy. And Echo is the heroine, who's an indigenous girl who is deaf and wears a prosthetic leg. And she's played by Alakwa Cox, who is a Menominee Indian who is deaf and wears a prosthetic leg. She's very good. And all of the indigenous culture elements in the story are really well presented. Although you've got a mob kingpin, and he's named Kingpin. Vince, by the way. And after two episodes, I still don't know what crime business he's in, which is, he's the kingpin, he's the master criminal, but I don't know what he does. But it's a very good cast, Zahn McClarnon, Tantu Cardinal, Graham Greene, and Chaskey Spencer, who was so good in The English.
Oh, mm-hmm. Wow.
There's a small budget, but very interesting new Western available on Prime and elsewhere called The Night They Came Home, although they should never have changed the title. The original title is The Rufus Buck Gang, and that you know what it's about. If you remember that huge budget TV Western of 2 years ago, The Harder They Fall, Chris Elba played Rufus Buck. Anyhow, they were a gang of mostly mixed race, half-black, half-Indian outlaws who carved an awful path of destruction. And the film strikes a good balance, showing not only their legitimate complaints, but the awfulness of their crimes. And our pal Peter Sciarrico has the best part I've ever seen him have in a picture. Yeah. As really Judge good. Parker's hangman, George Madeline.
Oh.
And please check out the January-February issue of True West, our annual Best of the West issue. Why, there it is! And you can read all about this and so much more at www.henryswesternroundup.blogspot.com.
Henry, thank you so much. You know, you mentioned our mutual friend Peter Sciarrico, and Manuela, Peter would love to say a hello to you. I had little communication with him late last night, some emails back and forth, and you are mutual fans of one another. And he was delighted to hear that you were going to be on today. He may even be watching. You may want to just do a shout out to Peter right now.
Well, it's an honor. It's an honor for me because Peter has become a role model to me when it comes to perfectionism. And ever since we did that short movie, Minus Candle, I remember Pete all the time. And I think, like, whatever you shoot, the next thing, whatever budget you have, try to do as much period correct as possible according what your budget allows. And the next project I have coming up, I'm very honored because the lady who was responsible for the entire wardrobe of The Night They Came Home going to be my wardrobe costume designer. You know, and we are gonna take some of Peter Sciarrico's stuff because he has this. I have it on my bucket list to go out to his ranch.
Oh, you love
it! He has
an
incredible collection of everything, and he's a walking encyclopedia. I think two of the most precious people in this entire genre is Peter Sciarrico and the late Charlie Lipser. That is for me two role models. Yeah. Sadly, one is gone, but he remains a role model. Yeah. And Peter is just like, you know, I reach out to him, Peter, this and this cult, was it already invented? That, yeah, it was there. This and this serial number, that and that. You need that and that bullet, you get a better effect. And I'm like, I'm shutting down everything. Thanks, Peter.
Yeah. You know? So, Henry, what it sounds like to me. What it sounds like to me, Henry, if it sounds like this to you, is Manuela is always asking herself, what would Peter do?
Exactly.
Well, he is the authority clearinghouse of getting it right.
Yep. Well,
and I've got to say just very quickly, I can't believe that I was so rushing to the last minute to get all of this written down so I know what to say that I didn't have my copy of Greatest Westerns Ever Made and the People Who Made
Them. We have ours.
Yes.
I ordered mine.
Thank you, Manuel. First book, and it's going to be out in about 4 days.
Yes. And next month, you will be sitting in Manuela's chair. You will be our featured author, and we will learn more and more and more about this book, which we are both already reading. So, yes, exciting news, Henry, for you. Very exciting. Let's see. Jim, do you want to actually do, we'll do a little official
intro
greeting for Manuela. It's been, we're just off and running here, and delighted to have you both with us tonight.
Yeah, we have a little something here. As someone born and raised in Germany, author Manuela Schneider's love of Native American and Western history might be surprising to some. Her fascination with pioneer life, cowboy heroes, and treacherous outlaws have been her constant companion for as long as she can remember. Schneider fuels her deep interest in the American West by traveling to the U.S. numerous times and visiting historic sites like Tombstone, Mesa Verde, and many others. Schneider has published 7 books in English and German and has won over 30 awards. At present, 5 new books are right in the hopper. Tonight, she makes her debut as a songwriter. In addition, we'll be chatting about her 2 newest titles, Memoirs of Madame Moustache, Growing Up to Be a Gambler, and The Unknown Enemy. Welcome.
And the unknown enemy.
We all have an unknown enemy somewhere.
At least one, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
Well, we're delighted to have you with us. You were here last August of 2023, and a lot has gone on. You do a lot in a short amount of time. Will you just kind of recap for us a little bit about what's been going on since you were with us the last time?
Well, I'm a workaholic, I think. The thing is, when I was with you guys the last time, I still took care of my mother, and she passed away meanwhile. And literally to keep sane, because I watch death every day, literally to keep sane, I kind of drowned myself in work, because if you are in the lucky position to do something with creativity, you have an escape route. You can create your own world, which is okay, because you cannot always chisel and shape the world outside or the, you know, the cards you get dealt with. And so since the last time, since Miner's Candle, the song I co-wrote with Carol Markstrom and a short movie, was such a success, I found that writing songs is quite an outlet for emotions that other people might face as well. And so as if with a good book, you have a chance to reach people. You have a chance to create emotions and to tell stories in different ways. And I thought, like, why only books? You know, why not try a screenplay? Why not try songs? And I'm in a lucky position that apparently I can do each one.
Yeah.
Because my base is I want to tell stories and make the people feel those stories. And if you have that base, you can switch from songwriting to book writing, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's the greatest fun. And for me, it's more than that. It has given me a sense of life. Let's say a light at the end of the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good way also to handle sorrow, to write mm-hmm. sorrow off. Mm-hmm. And you keep your loved ones alive, because in one way or the other, you put them either in a song or in a character of a book. And just like Henry does by writing that book, which I'm sure is a brilliant one, he keeps that genre, that era alive. I mean, we all were glued to the TV when Gunsmoke was on or John Wayne was walking through the picture with his Winchester in his hand. I mean, like, I do believe it's important to keep those stories alive.
Mm-hmm. You, we have a song. You were so kind. You sent us a song. Yeah. And Sam has it queued up and I think ready to play. Do you want to give us a little backstory to this old barn? And then Sam will play it.
The old barn is dedicated to the childhood of many people. I grew up in a rural area, and it was so much fun when the hay harvest time was coming around the corner. We all were in that one big old barn, jumping down from the top beam, woof, into the hay, getting scolded from mom for doing so. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And the old barn, if you go back to a childhood barn or childhood farm like that, it's the good old days. Your childhood and the good old times is still alive there. And I was very honored by having Garth Brooks's guitarist and George Strait's studio musician and Dolly Parton studio musician actually recording that song in Nashville. I was at shock and awe and who's going to play that? What? And I thought they pulled my leg, but apparently it's true. And so the old barn stands for the lucky days of our childhood. And so far, we received the master yesterday, and it's going to go on international release, I think, next week.
So here it is. Let's take a listen to Old Barn.
While since I've been home, Mom and Dad still on the farm. It stands quietly alone, this old barn. Went for a walk, took it all in. Pretty good shape for the shape she's in. Wouldn't take much to work again, this old barn. Weathered wood with a silver shine. Farmer's pride back in its time. A favorite place to go and hide. This old barn, it held more than strong hay, where as kids we'd go to play, a lot of black back in the day, in this old barn. It holds a lot of memories, it's not hard for me to see. I could always find some peace in this old barn. I first laughed and cried and kissed. Amazing how much I have missed. Remembering life well lived in this old barn. Withered wood with a silver shine. Farmer's pride back in its time. A favorite place to go and hide. This old barn. It held more than strong hay. Kids to go to play. A lot of black back in the day, in this old barn.
Thank you.
That's a great song.
The whole time.
I know.
And now tell us again who's singing it.
Yes, who's singing it?
This is sung and produced by Dan Washburn. He is actually the composer of the melody. And Dan is a very humble, he looks so simple. When he walks on the stage, you think it's one of the sound guys. And then he picks up his guitar and he starts to sing. And oh my God, the voice that comes out. And he feels like when I came up with the idea of the old barn, he just looked at me and he said, I spent my entire lifetime, my childhood in an old barn, on an old farm. So he was like, let's do that. So we just wrote a fourth song last week called Wild Horses, about personal dreams. And so we are going to record that along with one or two other songs in fall. So slowly but surely, an album is getting together because we recorded three songs already. One will be released in November because it's a sad Christmas song. It's a Christmas song dedicated to all kids and who are not as lucky as some other children. So that will be released in November, only coming November. So we keep on writing. You know, we click very well about songwriting ideas. By now, it takes us a little bit more than an hour to write a song like that.
Wow. An hour? That's all it took? Oh my gosh. Ma'am. You really are.
Some people work on these things for years.
I know.
Yeah.
Have you had any thought? This is just a question that just came to my mind. Have you had any thoughts about writing songs that connect to any of your books?
Yes, I do. Actually, there's one song called Stray, which is connected to the screenplay I wrote about the bad guy showing a weak voice. It's called Stray because he feels like a stray dog that nobody wants. He feels rejected by society, hence he turns into the bad guy. But in that one song, he reflects that it's not all only his fault. And when he sings that song in the movie, he will make himself likable in the sense that suddenly people will have a pity for him. Because I do strongly believe even people who are supposed to be bad or have a bad character, something down the road in their life happened that switched them into that character, that shaped them either good or bad. I was lucky the way I was brought up. I do believe I turned into a humble and positive person, but some people are created into evil people by society. You know, a lot of this outside influence. We are not born bad people. We come naked to this world, and the clothes and the characters we shape in during a lifetime, and other people do a hell of a lot to shape the person.
Did you have any questions about songwriting before we go to our quick ad and then we get into Manuela's book? Or Henry, do you have a...
Henry's got a question.
Do you have a question or comment?
Well, you know, it is sadly not my field. I'm a big fan of country music, but I don't know enough to really ask. Sorry.
That's okay.
No,
but you were tapping your toes, though, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Oh, I'm a big fan of the music. I'm just not knowledgeable about the process.
Oh, that's okay.
I think it was neat you got that thing knocked off in about an hour.
That's amazing.
It kind of reminds me of the story of Johnny Cash and a boy named Sue on the back of an envelope, you know?
That's amazing.
Sometimes those songs just come out real quick, and other times it takes a long time.
Well, we are going to take a very quick break. We're going to show you where you can get some of Manuela's titles. You can order Henry's book. And when we come back from this short announcement from our bookshop.org affiliate page, we are going to be talking about this one first, Madame Moustache, and then we'll be talking about,
you're right.
This one first.
Maybe we better start doing this
and
game.
And this one, secondly. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Story is everything. Find a great one on Out West Shops Bookshop. Go to outwestshop.com. Find books and CDs on the menu. Choose Shop Out West on bookshop.org. Browse through featured authors on Rendezvous with a Writer. Explore curated book lists and our featured picks. Add in note cards, calendars, and jigsaw puzzles. One-stop shopping for great gifts. Use the search box to find thousands more titles. Make the switch. Your purchase supports us as independent booksellers. That's our story.
Welcome back to Rendezvous with the Writer with special guests Henry Park and Manuela Snyder. And we're talking to Manuela about her two new books here, and one of them is Memoirs of Madame Moustache.
Yeah.
What's that all about? When did that come about?
Great book.
Yeah, when did that title get released?
I came across the name Madame Moustache numerous times, and I have to give a shout out to Chris Enns about that, because she told me, she said, like, They want the book about Madame Moustache, but the thing is, I don't write historical fiction. I write only nonfiction. So she approached me, and it's the first time I wrote a book in first person. And I was nervous about that. At first, I thought, like, can I do that? So I started the research, and it seemed as if Madame Moustache was following me already. And I'm like, that was eerie, because I was in Great Falls at the WWA convention. So we visited Fort Benton. Later on, I found out that Madame Moustache actually gambled in Fort Benton. Then I finished another book, and there's one scene that plays in Bannock, Montana. Found out that Bannock, Montana and Fort Benton was the name where she got that nickname from, Madame Moustache. So wherever I went, I came across traces of her. And when I write the book, I really like to use characters that actually lived during that period of time, or buildings that existed. I always give an explanation at the end of the book which part was not fiction, which person really existed. And the more I got to know about her, oh my God, that woman was a trailblazer. She was the first female to ever own an own gambling parlor in the United States, the entire United States. And she was it's not known, either French or Creole heritage. And she was very much into that game, what they call 20 and 1. We play the same game in Germany called 17 and 4. It all gets to the 21 points you have to get. So she became a legendary card dealer, was known for very honest card dealing, but she had a very, very tragic life. She set the base for a game we nowadays know, blackjack. Madame Moustache was the first blackjack professional dealer, with the very first female with an own gambling parlor. But her life, it was an odyssey. She was like a gypsy. She lived in over 20 different boom towns, sometimes not longer than 2-3 months. And she packed up, and she followed the gold rush and the silver boom. So that the people who followed gold rush and silver boom, it was a traveling circus. Mm-hmm. It was the miners, the prospectors, followed by the shady ladies, followed by the gamblers, followed by, you know, the real scum later on, politicians, bankers, and all the real bad people. And, you know, it was fascinating. And she got her heart really sadly broken twice. She never overcame that. And she ended up committing suicide. So there's going to be Madame Moustache book 2 with the second half of her life. And it is a fascinating character. And as an author, it's kind of weird. It's eerie. You start a book, and after a few chapters, you have the feeling that the book gets dictated to you by those characters. And a lot of author friends said, like, you know, I wouldn't be astonished if my main character walks down the street and said, like, why the hell did you get me shot? It was not my time yet. So it becomes very, the people really become alive. And that was my goal, was to give her a voice, because strangely, not much is written about her. A lot is known. She has newspaper articles about herself, even about her death. Was some newspapers at the East Coast wrote about her death in Bodie, California.
Oh, Bodie.
She was famous. That is where she committed suicide.
In Bodie.
She poisoned herself. So it's a very sad life. It's like she was insanely rich. She lost it all. And she lived according to her own rules, and she ended it according to her own rules. And I think she was a hell of a woman.
She was quite an entrepreneur. Yeah. I really enjoyed the book, and I liked that it was written in first person, because I felt the sense of urgency in everything that she did. Yeah. Loved her papa. So many of the characters come through with her voice, and she's describing them. So you feel like you're sitting right across the table from them, and including the ones that do break her hearts, that in the beginning she doesn't know. She has no clue that those two specific gentlemen were going to act the way that they did. And so we, the reader going along, think, oh, you know, oh, he seems pretty decent. And it's like, what? Yeah.
You know? It goes into romance. And that's the problem that female Western authors have. If you're a female and you write in a Western genre, you automatically get put in a certain drawer. Mm-hmm. Western Hallmark, sugar-coated Western romance. That's it.
Yeah.
If you want to really create classical Westerns, because in my book, people get shot, hung, robbed, raped. I mean, because Hollywood shows a very romantic pioneer era picture. It was not romantic at all. Mm-hmm. It was the law of the gun, the strongest wives. It was you take what you want. Mm-hmm. So it's difficult as a female author, especially when you are born from another country. I have people telling me straight to the face, you can't do Westerns. It's not in your blood. You're not even American. Well, do your homework, because at certain times, 2/3 of all pioneers spoke German language.
Yeah.
You have approximately 8 states in the United States where nowadays they checked with scientific research. Nowadays, besides English as the first version and Spanish, third version mostly spoken is German in 8 states. Yeah. So, you know, it is in my blood, apparently, but it makes it very difficult to sell books and to achieve things, because everybody automatically expects it's Western romance.
Mm-hmm.
And the romantic part was the slowest and smallest part in the entire era.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, well, I try hard.
For any of us that watched 1883, there's a very, very strong German presence in that miniseries. And I think probably for a lot of us, that was eye-opening, because we perhaps, I don't know, Henry, if you want to weigh in on this, what I'm going to stick my neck out and say now, but, you know, the immigrants that are being led across are German.
Yeah, and they use original language. Yeah. It was funny because the first time I watched it was on the flight overseas to the United States.
Oh,
and I'm like, oh my God, that dude is talking German. That's kind of cool. They really used the original, even the original accent, which was great.
Yeah. Well, go ahead, Henry.
No, I was just going to say that I was curious because I've read a bit of Karl May, who, of course, was the great German writer of Westerns. Yeah. Yeah. And I was wondering if his work was much of an influence on your work.
Well, I grew up with Karl May, and it really influenced me, but in a different way. I grew up with it. I was totally fascinated by it. Of course, I watched all the movies. We still have the Karl May Festival in Ratibor. We still have an open-air arena with the Karl May place, which runs from May to September, and they draw over 400,000 visitors each year. So it's still big. But
we should go.
When I was age 10, I found out the dude made up everything. He had never been to the US. And boy, was I pissed off and disappointed.
Yeah.
So, but instead of giving up, I wanted to know the truth. So at age 10, I ordered my first nonfiction book, which was a biography about Sitting Bull. That was the first nonfiction Western book I ordered, because I wanted to know the truth. And that is why I traveled to Arizona the first time in 1996. I wanted to see the real Apache country. I'm still a Karl May fan because it brings back childhood memories. And imagining that he made up everything, he was a damn good writer considering that. Because yes. he wrote it believable, yeah. Absolutely believable, yeah. You know?
Yeah. How funny.
So it influenced me in a big way, in a sense I wanted to learn the truth, and I still want to learn the truth.
Yeah.
You know, I just make one comment. You know, we went to Tombstone one time years ago mm-hmm. when they were having the Tombstone Festival, and I said to Bobby, where are these German folks from? I said, everybody here is German.
Yeah, and dressed,
we have a lot of fans.
Perfectly. I mean, dressed, you know, like they just, everything, yes. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Peter Schirico yeah. would be proud of them. They walk, they look, you know, perfect.
We got our picture taken with one of these guys.
Yes, actually, Peter Schirico and the two McKechnie brothers who were stuntmen in Old Tucson and had their own gun show in Virginia City and in Tombstone, they performed in Radebeul, Germany for a couple of weeks. They have been, and they still miss it. They still want to come back, and we still want them back. But it's like, you know, Tombstone is one of our favorite spots. And I was very honored because in March 23, I was announced the German, I was announced the honorary consul of the town of Tombstone for all German-speaking countries. Got a big certificate for it, and that was like a very big surprise for me because it's an honor. It's like representing history over here and bringing back history over there, you know.
Yeah. We are going to take a very short break so that when we come back, I'm going to hold up the correct title. When we come back, oh my goodness, we're going to talk about the unknown enemy. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Here at the Out West Shop, we're passionate about the American West, the truth and the myth. We're purveyors of fine Western goods. We scout for unique and distinctive apparel, accessories, home decor, and general merchandise that are a reflection of the Western lifestyle. We hunt for unique artisans and craftsmen who are inspired to create decorative art you can wear based on their own love for the story of the West. We round it up and bring it to you. Check out OutWestShop.com when you need anything Western.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Rendezvous with the Writer. Special guests Henry Park and Manuela Snyder. We're talking about a couple of Manuela's books, and right now we're showing one, right?
Yes, we are.
The Unknown Enemy?
Oh, The Unknown Enemy.
We want you to talk about that cover a little bit.
Oh,
you
know, yes.
Who is this charming individual on the front page?
And if you're listening to the audio of the podcast, I'm holding the cover up, and you will want to go find it online because it's quite a cover. Tell us about this book.
Well, I got into trouble by signing up. I have four publishers now, and one of them is two of them are German publishers. One is specialized on horror genre. And at first, they came out, you know, they stepped out to me saying, like, Manuela, we want you to write a Lovecraft-based story. And I'm like, who's Lovecraft? I'm like, oh, shoot, I'm in trouble. So at first, I thought I cannot write a book like that. But then my way of thinking is if we want to keep the genre Western alive, we will eventually have to come up with a genre mix, not for the classical old style reader, not for the classical Western fan, but we need to gain new readers, younger readers, because otherwise we're going to end up like the dinosaurs. That's my personal opinion. And it would be devastating if that beautiful genre dies. So I thought like, okay, Lovecraft. So I started to do some research, and Lovecraft is about all these tentacle monsters. And I thought the guy made up everything after smoking God knows what, you know, but not true. There is archaeological evidence that a lot of cultures believed in those kind of monsters, and that surprised me. And I thought, like, you know, the more I researched, the more it came into the direction, like the Book of Enoch, which is prohibited by the Roman Catholic Church because it contains some real eerie, monstrous creature. And so I did some research and I thought, like, wait a minute, I'm going to write you a Lovecraft, all right, but I'm going to do a Western Lovecraft. And I remembered hearing about the legend of the Navajo tribe saying that the earth was literally poisoned by evil monsters and that they had the so-called hero twins that became monster slayers. They defeated the monsters. And I thought, like, so there's my Lovecraft base. So the book is actually spun around that Navajo legend about the monster slayers and about the monster that is actually living in Mount Graham in Arizona. And like every monster, they have their assistants, even among human mankind. And they try to free that monster. And that is what the book is about. There's a serial murderer going on. Nobody has a clue why this case has happened, why these people get murdered, why the body gets mutilated all the time. And it has to do with opening a gate for that monster. Now, if they will succeed or not, you will have to find out.
Yeah. And, of course, that mining is going on at the same time period. And we know there are prospectors and you know, looking. And that mountain could at some point be a place people will go. And they might not know that that is not a place to go.
Yes. Well, actually, we have places like that because people, for example, still look for that gold mine in the Superstition Mountains, which was later on found again by a guy called Jacob Walz, which was actually his original name, Jacob Walzer, because he was born and raised 1 hour's drive from my village. He was a Black Forest guy. So in the Superstition, people fall to death because it's very rugged country, but people also disappeared under very weird circumstances. And throughout the entire decades that they have been looking for that gold mine, people actually found their grave more than the gold mine. And the towns in which this book plays is like, for example, Sharon, for example, Goldfield. These mining camps existed. And at the end of the book, I also give the explanation about the towns I use. When did mining start there? What was the biggest find, you know, all that. And I use true historical background, and the legend of the Navajos gets explained as well.
Yes. Now, this is a Restless Souls Western is also part of the title. So is this part of a series, Manuela? Are we going to have more Restless Souls?
Yes, it's a part of a series. We have another one called Jealousy, and the Restless Souls Western Jealousy is about the legend of the murder of Margarita by another prostitute named Gold Dollar inside the Birdcage Theater.
Oh, wow.
So that is actually book one was Jealousy. Book two is The Unknown Enemy. We have Madame Moustache book two coming out in late spring. I'm about 60% through with writing the manuscript. And unfortunately, I have another three scenes popping in between 5 minutes before I came online. I signed another 5 books contract. So at the moment, I have, with that signed today, I have an unbelievable number of 20 books contract.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Until end 25, mid 26. So I will be keep writing, obviously.
Well congratulations. But thank you. How do you find time to write all these?
I don't know, because she was sleeping before she, you know. came on the show. So
you know, the older you get, the less sleep you need. Well, it's once I write a book and I'm about three quarters through it, suddenly ideas for next book pop up in my mind and keeps bugging me.
Finish this.
We want out. You know, you have all these characters calling.
You never get writer's block, do you?
Knock on wood, so far not. Actually, we had a Zoom meeting yesterday about a new series, and I said, I don't want to, you know, don't do this bank robbing, stagecoach robbery. We have it 1,000 times. Don't do anything about Tombstone. It's a brilliant movie, but that cow gets beaten to death. I can't hear those quotes anymore, as much as I love the movie, because there has been more out there. So I thought, like, oh, my God, another series. What am I going to do? What are we going to do? So I walked down the stairs from my writing spot. I walked downstairs. I thought, I need a coffee. While walking downstairs, I had the idea for the series. I was just there. So I wrote the concept quickly, 15 minutes, and this is going to be a Dusty Saddles publishing series. So they said, I want it. We sent you the contract. So the contract popped in before this interview.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Manuela, where can people find you and follow you? And when are you coming back to the States?
I'm planning to come back on March 3rd. I have a few book signings. Then I'm going to be at the Tombstone Book Festival. From Tombstone Book Festival, I will be going down to Sierra Vista and Tombstone. As a surprise, it looks like I'm going to shoot a short movie that popped up quick like that. And I'm going to do a short movie based on one of my books. And then I will be another 2 days in Tucson and fly back. So I will be literally from March 3rd to March 25th in the United States. Mm-hmm. And again in October to be at the Women Writing the West Convention, the Will Rogers Medallion Awards, and the Wild Bunch Film Festivals. Mm-hmm. The books can be found on manuelaschneider.com, of course on Amazon, Goodreads, all the basic book platforms, Dusty Saddles, of course. Unknown Enemy, we are publishing a lot in German as well, so the books are going to appear double in English and in German. And the Unknown Enemy in Germany is only in pre-order, and it has hit the top 100 twice already. So I'm like,
oh my gosh.
Or American Horror Ballistic, they call it.
Yeah.
And I have to say that, you know, every person who creates art, whether it's a painter, designer, an author, a filmmaker, a songwriter, we all create art. So we are all literally living a dream. The dream wouldn't have been possible to the extent to what I achieved so far, if not coming to the U.S. Mm-hmm. So I'm very, very, very deeply honored. It's really the country of opportunities under the condition you're willing to work hard. It doesn't fall in your lap free of charge. And you have to, of course, you have to learn and speak the language. It's a matter of respect for the country. You want to reach the readers in the U.S., you better speak their language.
I'm just looking at our time. We are going to see you at Festival of Books in Tucson. We can't wait to actually be, you know, up close and personal. Jim has a quote.
Do we have time?
I think I'm watching the clock.
I'm a slow reader.
I know. I know.
You know, this is a conversation between Apache Medicine Man and Rancher Ben O'Connor after defeating the evil one. And he says, tell me, O'Sculty, have we defeated the evil one? The old man coughed weakly. No, but he will be in prison for many winters to come. I hope that the men who search for the yellow metal find it in other mountains. The Apache shall protect the sacred Mount Graham. Help them to do so, Ben. The evil one will show no mercy. If he escapes, he will kill white eyes and Indians without distinction. but we can prevent it together.
Amen.
Next week, our featured guest is already on the screen. And what did I do? Oh, here. Like, what did I do with your book, Henry? We will be talking in great detail with Henry Park about his book, The Greatest Westerns Ever Made. And the
I'm going to watch that.
Them. Yeah. And we're just delighted that you were with us tonight. Thank you, Henry. Thank you, Manuela. Thank you, Sam Haston of LA Talk Radio. And
fun.
Jim?
It's always a great day out west.
Keep writing and we'll keep reading. We'll see you down the trail. Good night.
Thank you.
Happy trails. Bye-bye. Happy trails.
Mm-hmm.